Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your calls. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa's here screening your calls. We've got a bunch of stuff going on tonight. If you want to join us live on the call, now's the time. If you're listening online, pick up the phone, dial 347-884-8327. We're going to do a recorded hour tonight, so line up your questions now. Open lines, anything goes, questions, comments, topics. Again, I say it every night, it happens every night. Questions always start off early in the beginning. And then they kind of get all jammed up towards the end. In the beginning, I'm always kind of extending out the calls. And then towards the end, I'm trying to rush and get them all in. So if you've got a question, a comment, a topic tonight, press 1 on your phone right now. Lisa will screen that call, and then we'll get to it. One of the things we threw out as potential topics tonight to kind of liven things up was anything in the forums. If you're active in the forums and you've got a forum you want to talk about tonight, I had a couple that were on my mind, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I see we've got hands going up already, so I'm going to start the recording. I'm going to get to the questions. If I run out of questions, maybe we'll go back to some of the forums I wanted to talk about, but for now, I guess I'll start getting to the questions. Again, if you want to join us before we get going here, 347-884-8327, and if you've got a question, a comment, a topic, or whatever it might be, press 1 now. Get those lined up early. Let's go ahead and get started. Good evening, and welcome to the show. I'm Kevin Rutherford, and this is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. I'm here tonight and every night to improve your bottom line and make you more successful. We talk about the things that are important to you, your business, your money, your life, and your success. Thanks for joining me, allowing me to ride along with you for an hour tonight. I consider it my mission on this show to bring you the very latest information to help you be more successful, make more money, save more money, and avoid scams and ripoffs. We can talk about trucks, money, retirement accounts, fuel mileage, maintenance, health insurance, technology, taxes, financial planning, current events, politics, or anything else you'd like to bring to the show. The website is letstruck.com, and the important stuff, well, that's your phone call, so let's get right to them tonight. Let's start off in Arizona. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going tonight, Kevin?
Going great. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, kind of a two-part question. First part is, what do you think about where the used truck market's headed? You know, I know that they've sent a lot of trucks offshore and looking to buy a used truck right now, and I've noticed kind of an interesting phenomena. In California, you have a damned hard time finding anything earlier than a 2005 for sale. just, and they're all advertising, well, this is all CARB compliant, you know. And it's just exactly opposite of the way it should be. But
where do you see the
used truck market going? Not too distant.
You know, it's interesting, and we saw this happen with reefers, and this is part of the problem I have with CARB. CARB should have never been allowed to impose their rules on interstate commerce. It should have never been allowed to happen. It's affected everything in our industry, even if you don't go into the state, and it affects things long before their rules ever go into place. You know, they change their dates constantly. Fleets and individuals ran out, bought trailers based on their rules, and then they would change the dates and then the prices. It would impact the prices, and we're seeing it now in trucks. We don't even know what the rules are anymore. They keep telling us they're going to give us new dates, but they've been telling us that for over a year now. They've set three dates for when they're going to tell us when the new dates are going to be, and they keep changing the dates of when they're going to tell us the dates. It's insane. And like you say, now they're advertising trucks CARB compliant already. We're talking about 2014 at the earliest. They've indicated they're going to push that back. There's lawsuits going on. They had something up on the ballot this year. I expect there'll be something up on the ballot every time they get a chance to put it on the ballot. So the one thing that I guess it will do, and this would actually be in our favor, is that anything pre-04, the price will drop because the perceived value and the perception is you can't take it into California. I was talking to somebody today that wants to order a glider kit, and they wanted to make sure that they were going to be able to drive the glider kit after 2014. They didn't mean just in California. They meant period. But there's a lot of confusion. There are no regulations anywhere else in the country. Nothing on the books. Nothing even being talked about, really. I think Minnesota or somebody up there brought up possibly following California on some of this stuff, but none of it ever made it to law. So I think the pre-04 trucks are going to stay cheap. 05 and beyond, 04, 05 and beyond, I don't see any immediate pressure on those trucks either, because I really don't see our economy coming back or the freight coming back anytime soon. Having said all that, I've said about 10 times this year I'm going to get out of the prediction business because I'm almost always wrong.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the feasibility of, based on your project truck with the T600, what's the feasibility of finding something that's, you know, still is a solid frame and solid body, say late 80s through mid 90s, a lot of them still had mechanical motors in it. And they're really cheap, you know, if you could find one that's in good shape. And just, you know, putting instead of the glider kit where you're putting an older motor in it, put a newer motor in it, you know. What do you see that?
I see what you're saying. I don't think I would go that route, and here's why. Rather than buy, say, a 1991 now, if it was Detroit's are electronic all the way back to about 86, I think is when the Series 60 came out, 86 or 87. CAT didn't really move to full electronic until almost the mid-90s. So it really depends. But, you know, I have people still buying, you know, 98 and 99 trucks for under $10,000. So, I mean, how much cheaper could you get the truck with a mechanical engine? Half of that? And even if you did, I think you're going to end up spending more to get it back up to where you want it. So I think the sweet spot is in that 96 to 2002 range, and you just look for the bargains. If you're going to recondition it anyway, just look. I think on the show last night or sometime this week, bought a truck for $5,500, and it was ready to pull freight. And, you know, they're going to recondition it a little bit at a time. So I think there's still that sweet spot out there, but I wouldn't be going all the way back to mechanical engines. I don't think we need to go that old to get a bargain.
Okay, thanks for your advice.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's see. Let's head off to we're going to Matt in Minnesota. Matt, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just want to give a little plug for the Christmas group. We're trying to help out some needy families in the trucking industry. And
always a great cause.
To raise money, we got some great deals for owner-operators and even some things for company drivers. But, you know, some of the biggest things that help out are, you know, the real small donations. You know, the even a couple of dollars or $5, I mean, that goes a long way when you get a big group of people to do it.
It does. Remember the, I know you remember, the original idea. Somebody in Wonderful Wayne was a big part of starting the group. And in the beginning, somebody looked at the website and said, hey, we've got, I don't remember the exact number, but 7,000 some members at the time. They said, think if everybody just gave a dollar, what we could do with the $7,000 and how many families we could help. And over the years, you've raised much more than that. Now, if we could use that same idea, we've got 27,000 members, and who knows how many listeners. If we could just get, you know, that $1 to $5 donation from a lot of people, it would be amazing how much good the group could do.
Exactly. And it's strictly trucking families. That's the only people we're going to help. And the same thing, there's a website everybody can go to. It's real simple, Let's Truck Christmas, all one word, letstruckchristmas.com, and you can see everything on there, and there's a tab to nominate a family if you know somebody that has a need. And actually, there's two stipulations. A, there has to be a legitimate need. You can't write on there that you've been working hard and you want to take your wife to Hawaii on a vacation. We'll probably disqualify that. And, yeah, you do have to be in the trucking industry.
You know, and that brings up another good point. The group itself, and I know I might talk a lot about this, but I'm always amazed at the hard work that the group itself puts in. And these are just about everybody in the group is working full-time, driving, they're truck owners, whatever. They're part of the industry. They're working full-time. They're answering the phones. They're out getting sponsors to donate stuff so we can raise money. And then there's the whole process of going through all these applications, trying to pick the families, and then figuring out how to help them all. It's a lot of work. It's an amazing thing that the group itself does.
Well, with the web-based, you know, group that we got, it's actually fairly simple now, you know, after this is the third year into it. It's getting easier. And if everybody wants to go ahead and grab a pen, I got a phone number they can call, too, if they can't get on the Internet.
Okay, shoot.
If they got a pen ready, that number is 402-802-9930. And they can call pretty much anytime. Anytime you can call that number, 402-802-9930.
Fantastic. Hey, I appreciate it. I've got to get to a break. We're going to come right back with more stuff. So stick around. You're on the Road Dog Sirius 147 XM 171. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Good evening. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Trucking Business and Beyond. We're going to get right back to the calls. That website for the Christmas group, letstruckchristmas.com. Check it out. There are some killer specials there and all the money. You get a great deal. This is really a win-win. You get a great deal on something you need anyway. You get your tax deduction before the end of the year, and the group is able to use the money. All the money goes to help out the families in the industry. Let's go to Tennessee. Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Jimmy the Junk Man checking in.
Good evening.
Kevin, how are you tonight?
Doing great.
I got my Christmas present today. I just heard that Harry Reid had to drag his omnibus spending bill back off the floor.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited. That's my present, Christmas present early. So I'm feeling the Christmas spirit. Let's put the Christ back in Christmas. If everybody on the website sends in a buck, that's $27,000. If everybody sends in $10, that's over $250,000. Imagine what we could do with that.
That's wild.
Let's truck Christmas.com 402-802-9930. And take the Jimmy the Junk Man challenge. Forget that dollar. Forget the $10. Send in $500.
Holy cow. That's the big bucks.
Yeah. So anyway, I stopped into Fitzgerald Truck Sales this afternoon. And I visited Robert a little bit this afternoon. Man, that is one heck of an operation. I mean, I've driven by it hundreds of times, but I never got to stop and check it out. And man, what an operation!
Now I know why Robert wasn't returning my calls this afternoon. You had him tied up all day.
He is a busy, busy guy.
He is busy, and I mean it. He didn't return my call today, and I needed to talk to him.
I think he was closing the deal with one of the glider trucks, and the new owner of this truck. It was an amazing case. It's a guy who owns 10 trucks, and he was picking up a brand new glider kit, right? And he was trading in his first truck that he ever owned.
Wow.
His old Freightliner Classic, and it had 1,200,000 miles on it, and he was kind of weepy. But I said, man, you're really gonna like driving that truck, and he says, well, I'm gonna like driving it to Dallas, but one of my drivers is gonna be driving it.
Oh yeah.
And he's a small businessman, and he's got an operation kind of like mine. He's got 10 trucks at a couple different carriers. And what a great thing, you know. He's done the hard work and the vigilance, and he's put it together, and he's bought a couple of these things. And he's really turning, you know, he's really, you know, plowing it back into his business to ratchet forward.
Hey, you know, with speaking, and that's why I needed to talk to Robert. I've got about 5 glider kits in the works, signature truck glider kits that I need some dates on because we're special ordering some stuff. But here's what we find, and this is becoming real common. Small fleets like this, like yours, where guy will come in and he'll say, one today had all lease trucks, all internationals with the new international engines, and said, look, I can't do this anymore. These things are absolutely killing me. He said, I want to try one of these gliders. You spec it. He said, I'll tell you what the job is. You spec it. And he said, if this thing works the way you say it's going to work, I'll be back. I'll replace every truck in my fleet with one of these. And sure enough, they come back. I mean, it's working.
Well,
here's the thing, Kevin.
Here's the thing, okay? A glider kit from Fitzgerald, if you put on all the stuff, right, that we know works, will get better than my truck that I drive if it's driven correctly. Agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And yours is pretty amazing.
I've got 8.62 for a 30-day running average in winter.
Exactly. I
you
know.
You can get better than that.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you want 8-something when a brand-new hunk of junk truck with its stupid emissions government BS motors are getting 6 and 5 and 4?
Not only that, his biggest complaint, really, I mean, he
days
he was,
in the shop, 135 days in the shop, warranty work. Yeah, what good is a warranty if they put you last in line, you got to make a copay, and they put the brand new guy that just got out of rookie diesel mechanic school doesn't know which end of the wrench to bang on your engine with, and then he's going to do it on third shift, and he's going to end up with a pile of Jethro Bodine extra parts at the end. Are you kidding me?
Hey, you're getting all wound up again.
I'm excited. I think Christmas is great. I think Fitzgerald's great. I think this whole glider thing is a nice little jab at the soft underbelly of our government that's trying to ram all these rules down on us all the time. And I was getting a fever down there, Kevin. I was thinking, man, I might have to rethink this thing.
It's pretty exciting when you go there and you see it all and you know, you see the truck being built. And it's kind of an amazing process. They've made it look easy. They've made it seem easy. You walk in, they build a truck a day without really trying that hard. That's kind of a standard schedule. They could build 2 a day when they really need to and kind of hustle. So it is fun to see it. And when you see it, you do start to kind of get the fever. So I got to move on. You've got to calm down, though. We got to watch your blood pressure sometimes. You get a little wound up. You need to stay calm the way I do. Let's go to Jersey. Corey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, the 8 mile per gallon guarantee. I can't for the life of me understand why anybody on the Let's Truck website would even have the remotest problem with that. I mean, if you're willing to build a truck and they're willing to drive it the way you tell them, and they need trucks, we all need decent fuel mileage trucks, well, I mean, why wouldn't you guarantee it? Because the technology is there.
Yeah, here's how that whole thing came about, and it's been just kind of a crazy week in the forums, and I think this one started it. There was, open up the forums one day, and I see this title, 8 mile per gallon plus written guarantee, and I thought, wow, I wonder who's doing that. Well, it says I have a friend with about as much business savvy as the Fryolator boy on midnight shift at Hardee's. He wants a new truck, but only if the dealer will give him a written guarantee of 8 miles per gallon or better. Is he right or wrong, and why? And then people started saying he's insane. Dealers would never do that. I guess he's not going to get a truck. And I got thinking about it. And I went in and I said, look, if he will allow me to set up and spec the truck, including the ECM, which means I get to control top speed, idle time, those kind of things, I said, I'll give him a written guarantee. It was right off the top of my head. We've never done it before. And I just thought, you know what? The challenge is there. Let me throw it out there. So immediately people started saying, well, what about details? I said, well, I don't know. I don't have them because I just thought about this. Well, we have to have details. And I said,
well, it's a spur of the moment. It's a spur of the moment proposition. But,
yeah.
I mean, if anybody out there reads as much as I do, I mean, you read that Pittsburgh Power is building a 6NZ, 810 horsepower, 8+ in their trucks in a Pete. So
I know.
I mean, you it's there. You know, it's just it's all in how much money you're willing to throw away. Now, I'm sorry, I don't like Peterbilt, so I know that's going to offend some people. I mean, that's a very polarizing subject, and I don't want to get into it.
Right.
But if you, like you say, you spec the truck, you know, lift axle, wide base super singles, you know, XZA3s on the front, even down to the air tabs and the how far the chrome sticks off the side of the truck. I mean, you can set the truck up to do 8 miles to the gallon. I mean, easy.
Yeah,
and the truck bobtail is going to run 13 or 14.
Yeah, and people said, oh, you can't do that. What about where he drives it and what the weight is? And I said, look, I'll go one step further. I would make this, I'll take this challenge with any operation pulling a van trailer. I did specify a van trailer up to 80,000 pounds, and it could be 80,000 pounds every day. I don't care. And any part of the country. I don't care what part, as long as it's regional or over the road, then I'll throw it out there. I'm going to come back to you in just a minute. I've got to get to a break, and I'll let you put out a final thought there, and we'll get back to some more questions. So hold on. We'll be right back. You're on the Road Dog Sirius 147 XM 171. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Good evening. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Trucking Business and Beyond. The website is letstruck.com and letstruckchristmas.com. Before the break, I was talking with Corey in New Jersey. Corey, I'm going to give you a chance to put out a final thought on this in just a second. Here's kind of what I was leading to, and again, this was on the fly. I said, any operation up to 80,000 pounds, pulling a van trailer. You can't bring me a step deck because then the freight gets too unpredictable as far as aerodynamics and a bunch of other things. And any part of the country, as long as it's not, you know, something crazy where you only run from, you know, Denver straight west and back, that kind of thing. But I said regional or true 48 state, absolutely. And I'm going to control the speed. Now, I may let the truck go 61 or 62. I may restrict it to 57. I said the final specs would happen as I worked with each individual person. And I would set it up so that it was a 180-day guarantee. After you had the truck for 180 days, we would have an 8 mile per gallon plus average, or I would buy the truck back and we would spec out or specify how I would buy it back, what kind of price, whether we set it up as rental or whatever. And immediately somebody went in and said, oh, it's a sucker bet. You don't want it to get 8 miles to the gallon. You just want to get it back and resell it. And I said, that's the stupidest thing ever. Why in the world would I want to get a truck back and fail at this challenge? Just so I could sell it again for a couple thousand dollars? Big deal. My motivation would be absolutely to hit that 8 mile per gallon. I don't want to fail at this. It's my credibility. It's the show. It's everything I talk about all the time. So I have a huge motivation to see this work, and I would have to write the deal to make sure that the buyer has a huge motivation so that somebody doesn't do it just to try to prove me wrong. Because if somebody wanted to prove me wrong, it would be easy.
Well, final thought, I owe you a phone call. I missed your call this afternoon. I would go, we're looking for a glider kit. I run a postal route. As I said, I pull a 53, 12 foot 6, 96 wide. I would go one further. I'll test new technology.
There you go.
See if we can't push it to 9.
Yeah, exactly. Are you guys controlling the trailers, your trailer?
No. No,
okay.
They're company trailers, so they won't do freight wings. I've talked to them about it. They
and we pull a roll door, so I can't do a boat tail.
We're looking at some of the new technology from Smart Truck. No skirts. We're looking at some really minor stuff up on the top of the trailer. Nothing big like a boat tail. They've got their new technology under the trailer at the tandems.
The under trays. I've seen pictures on the web about them. But I mean, my truck that I run now runs 300,000 a year. It's 296,458 or something guaranteed. So
wow.
I mean, we're looking to
wow.
Yeah. It's I mean it's a team routes.
So you know
like
what
I
the
said,
numbers
I,
are.
Yeah.
When you improve the fuel economy on a single truck doing that many miles, the numbers are amazing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I mean like I said, I'm looking for a truck. I owe you a phone call and I'll get with you tomorrow. Like I said, I missed your phone call today, so I'll call you tomorrow. We'll talk more about it.
Okay, sounds good. I'll be around, so give me a call. You've got my number. You know, that was kind of an interesting thing that came from this forum, is I did get a lot of people who called and said, hey, we've been thinking about one of these glider kits, so, you know, we saw the forum. Let's go ahead and get started on this process. And I've got about five that I'm working with. I've been pretty busy with these the last couple of days, speccing each one for different operations. The interesting thing is, though, of the five right now, nobody wanted to bother with the written guarantee. Now, they all said, look, we want the truck. We want you to spec it. We want to get the absolute best fuel economy we can, but we don't want to mess with the guarantee. We want to drive the truck at 64 miles an hour or whatever it is. We know that we're going to get really good fuel mileage, and we're not going to mess with the challenge itself. So far, of all the people that I've talked to, nobody even wants to put the deal in writing. They just want to build the truck. Let's see. Let's head off to Indiana. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Oh, yep, you're there. Go ahead.
Okay. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind this evening?
I've been checking the naughty and nice list. And, you know, liberals are always saying, we got to do it for the kids. We got to help the poor. Funny, they're not stepping up to the plate.
They're not.
No.
I know.
Don't they want me off the site? Ain't they sick of me yet? A simple
$10
donation. Get me off the site for a day.
I forgot about that challenge. I saw it up there, and I was going to comment on it, and I got busy with other stuff. You actually put out, if the liberals were tired of you on the site for a $10 donation, you would stay off a day for each $10 donation?
Yep, for each $10 donation they give, I'll stay off the site for a day.
See, for when
I first
saw it,
on that.
When I first saw it, I was going to go in and say, well, if anybody puts up $10 a day to get you off, I might put up $15 to keep you there. But I couldn't figure out how we could make that work.
Yeah. We got another challenge out there for everybody. One penny a mile for every mile you drive.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yep. If you drive 3,000 miles this week, donate $30 to the Christmas Club. Help us help some families out.
Yeah, that's a great
idea. That's
what
truck drivers used to do. We used to help each other out when we found somebody in trouble.
Well, you know, you're right. It used to be, and I know a lot of people still do this individually. It used to be a very personal thing. If you had an owner-operator, maybe he was your friend, he was having a tough time, you helped him out. We still do that. The great thing about today's technology is now we have this means, we have the means to come together through satellite radio, the podcast, the website. We have this communication tool where we've been able to get together. Now we can take that same idea and make it work really well for all of us. You know, it's funny, we're an industry that spans the entire country, not just the country. You know, we have a ton of Canadian listeners and a ton of Canadian members. We had our first Mexican call the other night, first one I know of anyway. And it's just an amazing thing because to me, our industry feels like a really small community because we know each other. We talk to each other all the time, and yet we're scattered all over the place. Yeah, exactly. And we happen to cross paths once in a while. And yeah, it's wonderful.
We even got a donation from our friends in Australia.
Oh, yeah. See, I almost forgot about those guys. They're halfway around the world, and they're active on the site. We talk to them all the time.
Yep, talk to them all the time, and we got one donation from them, from Australia.
Now, if somebody
from Australia can give us a donation, surely people like Daniel Whitman and Bubba, Bubba, I know you're listening. Come on,
yeah,
Bubba.
Bubba, you know, Bubba is a loyal listener. He may give me a hard time, but... Boy, I'll tell you what, he was the first one that noticed I got sick last week and had to play a rerun. He gets a little testy every time I have to play a rerun.
Yes, he does. Come on, Bubba, kick me off the site for a day or two.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Well, Kevin, you have a nice night, and thanks for all your support.
All right, thank you, and we'll see if anybody takes you up on the challenge. All right, we are coming up on a break. We've got one more segment coming, so stick around. We've got lots going on. You know, you hear me talk about the forums, and we've got really active forums. This week I sent out some emails, and we got a lot of new blood in there. And that's one of the things we really want to work on this year. I love the forums. We've got discussions going about anything. And the great thing about it is when you're a member, you get to start a discussion if you want. You can go in and you can respond to one that's already there. You can start another one. You can just read. But the more people we get involved, the more ideas we get, the more opinions we get, the more it makes me think. I love being challenged in the forums. I love to hear the other side because it makes me think. I worked pretty hard at it this week because I got a little I took one of them a little personal because it was about FedEx, and not that I think FedEx is perfect by any means, but I've been contracted there from 20 some years, pretty proud of the company, and some people were saying things that just weren't true. I had to go out and work. I put some numbers together, though, that were pretty interesting. It was a good exercise, so I'd love to be challenged that way. Come on over and join us, letstruck.com, and the forum tab's on the top, my favorite place. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're on the Road Dog, Sirius 147, XM 171. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, we have got one more segment, and we've got some open lines. I think I could get in a couple more calls here. So if you're on the line and you want to join us here in this final segment, go ahead and press 1 right now. Lisa will screen that call, and like I say, I think I've got some room here in this segment to get to, well, let me check the lines real quick, see what I've got. I've got... only one question right now that I haven't gotten to so far. So probably room for a couple more. It doesn't happen often, but now's your chance. If you're on the call and you want to jump in with a question, a comment, a topic, whatever it might be, I'm going to start the final segment recording right now. Press 1 on your phone, and we will get to that here in just a minute. All right, so... here we go. Good evening. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Trucking Business and Beyond. We're going to get right back to the calls. Let's go to Minnesota. Matt, welcome back.
Yeah, the forums. I just got involved today because you mentioned the one about FedEx yesterday.
Right.
So I went and read it all, and you know, maybe you took it a little too personally because it's FedEx. I mean, I didn't agree with the guy, you know, saying that FedEx is an unsafe company, but I kind of went at it from a different point of view and did a little research and, you know, the difference between A doubles and B doubles, and there's actually a thing called a C double, different configurations for pulling doubles trailers, and it's actually quite interesting.
Yeah, I saw some of the ideas in there, and it is interesting. And that's what I mean. Out of this, you know, kind of crazy, there was some crazy stuff there. I mean, one of the guys actually wanted the FMCSA to outlaw doubles because he said they were so unsafe.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody else said FedEx crashes constantly. They're everywhere. They're wild. I mean, it was crazy. So I went in and I looked at the numbers. First of all, for doubles. Some of the companies running doubles are the safest in the country, FedEx being one of them, way at the top of the list. And here's the way I measured it. And this brings up something else. We have all the new CSA 2010 numbers and the basics and the scores and all that stuff. If this is about safety, why don't they use the metric that I posted?
Well, yeah, it's for miles traveled in accidents. Because you compared FedEx, Ground, and UPS, and Schneider, and
yeah,
a lot of the big companies.
I put up two numbers. I took the total number of miles driven for the fleet and divided it by, first of all, the number of crashes and said, okay, here's how far a fleet goes for every one crash. And then I said, if it's really about safety, let's look at injuries because they report injuries separately. So I put up how far a fleet goes between injuries. And then I compared companies. First of all, I compared FedEx Ground's numbers. Pretty amazing. So far, I think I've run 10 or 11 major carriers through this. I build a little spreadsheet. Nobody's had better numbers than FedEx yet. UPS, you know, somebody went in and went off on this rant that it's the absentee owners and the contractor business model, and they're a bunch of dirtbags, and they're not paying their drivers, and this is the problem. Well, the exact opposite of that, I guess, would be UPS, which is all union, very highly paid employees. How come they're not safer?
I like how you get blasted from both sides. Some people blast you because you got it so easy with a gravy train, easy money-making job at FedEx. But yet, this other person blasts you because, you know, they're cheap and...
Right.
You know, you hire nothing but junk because you can't afford to pay your drivers.
Yeah, but it turns out that, you know, for 2009, we would go almost 1.7 million miles between crashes and 4.6 million miles between accidents. UPS actually did slightly better on crashes, but they did slightly worse on injuries. YRC, another union carrier, they weren't even close. They were, you know, 1.2 million miles on accident, 3.2 million on crashes. So, you know, I tried to tell people, look, it's perception. Yes, you see them crash. They're very visible. They have a lot of trucks on the road. And you know what? When they lay one over on the side of the road, there's no question who it is. You're not going to mistake who crashed a set of doubles with, you know, green and purple all over them.
Or, you know, a big white Swift trailer or an orange Schneider trailer or any of the big ones, you know, because they got so many on the road.
Yeah, very, very visible. So what I tried to get people to look at was, I understand your perception when you saw three of them in the center strip last week, but look at the numbers. We have facts. Let's use the facts. And so far, the facts say that we're one of the safest fleets in the country as far as the big ones go. In fact, you know, I found one fleet that came really, really close. I mean, we were down to a difference of like 50 miles per crash or per injury, and we're talking about almost 5 million miles, and that was Landstar. They had some pretty impressive numbers too.
Wait a second. Isn't Landstar and FedEx Ground 100% owner-operator?
I think so. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
People bash owner operators for, you know, just trying to get as many miles or whatever, you know, for trying to make a buck, but.
And we have a government.
True.
We have a government, not only federal, but a lot of states who would love to do away with the independent contractor business model, and I wonder why, because it certainly doesn't have anything to do with safety, because the numbers just don't show it. It was kind of interesting. Now that I threw this spreadsheet together, not that I have a lot of extra time, but. I may just keep plugging in fleets and see, you know, it's really big difference in the numbers.
Yeah, it's now that to correct you, you know, you said CSA 2010, they officially changed it. It's just CSA now.
I don't know why they didn't do that in the first place, but I guess that'll simplify things for us because it was going to get confusing next year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's amazing, but, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, you know, I've seen there's a big FedEx route that runs from Minneapolis to Chicago. Guys meet in the middle and switch out every day. And, you know, I can honestly say I think every time there's a big snowstorm, except for this last one here last weekend, I almost always see a set of FedEx doubles in the ditch too, but I think I counted 10 trucks across Wisconsin in the ditch last weekend, and not one of them was FedEx, so.
Well, and here's what happens, and this comes down to that perception thing again. You can see 10 trucks in the ditch. They're white van trailers. You may catch a company name, you may not, you really don't pay attention to them. When you see a set of doubles in there, you immediately notice them because they're doubles. They make a mess when they crash, and there aren't that many companies that run them. So whether it's UPS or FedEx or whoever it might be, you certainly do remember who it was. But it really is perception. Again, I'm looking at the numbers, and the numbers just don't hold out the fact that FedEx is crashing more often. In fact, not even close, really. Let's go to Marshall in Indiana. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. We're getting pretty close to rebuild time on my 12-7 Detroit, and I guess I was looking for kind of like a ballpark number for rebuilding on the 12-7 to your signature truck specs. I mean, what kind of dollar frame are we looking from, you know, basically turbo all the way back into the ported and jet hot coated manifolds through a Pittsburgh Power and everything that you basically do to the signature engine?
You know, I would say minimum 25,000, and
minimum
you could certainly, yeah, you could certainly go up from there. I mean, there's so many different steps that we did, you know, from the block itself to the crank to balancing all the internals, and every step obviously adds cost. If we're going to balance everything, it's got to be machined. If we're going to, you know, straighten the crank, that has to happen. If we're going to line bore the block, all of those things add, you know, a cost. But I would say if you want to get in the ballpark, it's going to be a minimum of $25,000. Now, if you want to go up from there with a programmed ECM or a power box or whatever it might be. I know that I've seen estimates from Bruce, not so much on the Detroit, but I've seen estimates on Cats go as high as $40,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a spot on your website or whatnot that we can order that signature truck DVD when you guys were putting it together? Is that still available, or did you guys run out of copies for that? I'd love to see that.
That is still available, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to put you back on hold, and Lisa can tell you all about that and figure out how to get one out to you. We still got them. We're going to continue to produce that DVD. It really is. If you're interested in the signature truck engine or the signature truck,
how it was built and the technology. It's a fantastic DVD. Step by step, you see, you know, Bruce and I talking about each part in the engine and how it goes together and all that. You also may want to check with the Christmas group right now on that DVD. I think they're offering that one. You could check out their website, letstruckchristmas.com. See if maybe they've got it available. If they do, you'll get a better deal on it. And the money will all go to help out the families. Thanks for joining me. I've got to get out of here. Stick around. Jonesy's coming up next with the all-night truck stop. You're on the road, dog. Sirius 147, XM 171. Be safe, be profitable, be responsible, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.